You're listening to audio from The Village Church, a community that's formed by the gospel and sent on God's mission, gathering weekly in the heart of downtown Hamilton, Ohio. For more information about The Village or to connect with us, you can find us online at myvillagechurch.com.
Good morning. All right, today's focal passage is Matthew 13, 31 through 32. He presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a man took and sowed in his field. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but when grown, it's taller than the garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds of the sky may come and nest in its branches. This is the word of the Lord. You may now be seated.
Good morning. My name is Michael. I'm one of the pastors here. Thanks so much for hanging out with us this morning. Glad you made it in, whether you got coffee or not. So thanks for being here. Last week, I told you to get here early. I mean, like, you cannot blame me. I'm telling you. Would you pray with me? Father, thanks for your gifts and your goodness, your grace, your mercy. Whether we know we need it or not, it's abundant. Thanks for the opportunity to reflect and look back on years of grace that you've given us, and just an opportunity to see where we are and to look forward to what you might have for us. And would you remind us that this day is not about the Village Church, and it's not about what happens on the stage or on these screens, or it's not about coffee or donuts or pizza, but it's about you and your kingdom come, and the part that we get to play in that. So would you remind us of that today? Above all, would you let us know and trust and treasure you above everything else in this life? In Jesus' name, amen. So in a month-ish, we will have a little Christmas village in our house that Kim loves to put up, and I just love all the snowflakes all over and things like that. And in that little Christmas village, there will be a little pizzeria that's shining, you know, got lights on it, and there will be a library and a little steeple and an ice skating rink and benches and trees and little homes. And we know that that's not a functional library. You cannot check out a book there. We know that that little tiny pizzeria does not serve, you know, wood-fired pizza pies. We know that. But it's an image of those things. And just kind of looking at it, it's a beautiful little village, like a little Hallmark scene that we get to, like, walk by and just, like, oh, man. And just to think, like, their little lives, you know, in the context of a greater world that they're living in. It's kind of like got Horton Hears a Who vibes, if you're familiar with that. Horton Hears a Who, there's this tiny speck of dust, and this entire world lives on that, but it's just floating around in a much, much, much bigger world. Imagine that tiny little village growing with life, and you can imagine, you know, families gathered around Christmas trees and around fireplaces and skaters going on frozen ponds and all of that. For what? For what if they don't know where they fit in this great big world? Barbers and hospitals and city buildings. And if you zoom in, you look past those tiny little bricks, and maybe you can imagine if you peer through a little stained glass, or maybe you peer through a pharmacy window that had stairs that would lead you into a basement, right? You would see God's people. Just look at them. Maybe they look something like us, one little village church putting a much bigger world on display, people, the people of God welcomed in, beholding the glory of God, sitting under the word of God, responding to the work of God, and sent out as the people of God. Today we celebrate 15 years as the Village Church, and we celebrate, but I want you to know we're not just celebrating the Village Church. That would be pretty short-sighted, right? It's us celebrating being a tiny part of that bigger story together. And we celebrate being a tiny expression of God's kingdom on display for the world to see, a place where lives are formed by and sent by the life and the work established by a king who inaugurated a kingdom. And when you talk about the kingdom of God, you can talk about like Christianity, or you can say lots of things, but when you say things like the kingdom of God, one, you have to be careful that you don't sound like a cult, all right? But if you keep going, you have to think like it sounds mysterious. It's something far off and it's invisible, yet it's exactly what Jesus came to bring near. It's what Jesus came to do. And so in the beginning of his gospel in Mark, he said, you know, the kingdom is near. Repent and believe. So he's saying, I've come to bring a kingdom. Turn and trust and follow me. And that was his invitation. He brought the kingdom down to our space, just our finite, limited space and our time and our view. And this mysterious kingdom is revealed and it's made visible by Jesus, through Jesus, for Jesus, the infinite God who showed up wearing flesh to dwell among his creation to save us into life. That's what he came to do. The kingdom of God is the people of God living in light of the rule and reign of God. That's what the kingdom of God is. And that rule and reign is made visible through local churches just like this one. And it's been happening for a long, long time. God's people in places just like this, opening up this book, singing songs like we sang today, praying prayers. All of it's been happening for a long, long time. And while the world, you know, buzzes around, and if you think of that little town square, maybe those people think that the center of human flourishing, like the good life, is found through the bank or the university or the daycare. But what we know is that the center for human flourishing is actually us. It's actually the local church being mobilized as the headquarters. It is HQ for making the full life known. The church is the embodiment as the way of the fullness of life, not because we're great, but because Jesus is great. That's what we're part of. And for us in this room, that mission HQ is the Village Church, or has been in some way. And I want you to know that the Village Church, it's a shadow, and it may fade. It may have blipped up on the radar. Maybe we've lived our best life already in 15 years looking back. It's a shadow. It may fade, but the kingdom that we get to reflect, it will never fade. And Jesus paints a picture for us through a string of analogies, through stories and kind of connections that he calls parables. And he talks about a sower and a sower casting seed, and that seed takes growth, and that seed is the word of God, and it shows up in lots of ways. And he talks about weeds, and he talks about everybody is not part of this kingdom. And the world might tell you that like everyone is God's people and we're all, but he draws lines and he says, some of you are mine and some of you are not. And then he says this, and he tells us about the kingdom of God this way. In Matthew 13, 31, he says, he presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that a man took and sowed it in his field. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but when grown, it's taller than the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the sky come and nest in its branches. Now, at first reading, that's like kind of odd, right? But what we see is the kingdom of God has humble beginnings, but it grows to give abundant life. The kingdom of God has humble beginnings, but it grows to give abundant life, and that's what we're talking about today. And what I want to do is I want to paint how these realities are present in the big picture of the kingdom of God, the storyline of God and his people, and how these big picture realities are true in the life and the history of the Village Church, and how these realities are true. This sliver of a picture by God's grace might also be true in your very own life. The first thing we see is this: the kingdom of God, it starts small. That's what he tells us. It starts small. But I want to be clear here. This is not Jesus giving a botany lesson, right? He's not teaching us things. You might say, well, technically there are smaller seeds. Like, oh, okay, you may be missing the point, right? And so it's not a botany lesson. It's a metaphor. It's not about mustard. Thanks be to God, right? It's about how great things begin, And this greatest thing being the kingdom of God, it's about humble beginnings, a seed so small, how could anything come from that? I remember being in 10th grade, taking this current events class with a brand new teacher. He was like my age, it seemed like. And we spent time talking about current events, but really we played this game, I think it was called like Civilization, on a computer that was, you know, like weighed 100 pounds, right? And you just started off with like, I don't know, like a hatchet and some, you know, a couple trees, and you had to chop those trees down, and you built a world, a civilization. You built a kingdom with walls, and it was fortified. It was a fortress, and you had military and all those things. Maybe that would be like Age of Empires or some builder game like that today, but if someone showed you and they said, man, look at this, and you had all these things and infantry of troops and houses and villages and all that stuff, and then they said, but here, this is where you begin, and you just start with just a hatchet. You'd be like, but how do I get from there to there? How is it even possible to do that? That's what Jesus is telling us. It would be overwhelming. How do we get here from there, from this mustard seed to a forest? How do we get from this log to a fortress? How do we get from one person to a civilization? See, the movement of the storyline, it starts small. And we say it a thousand ways around here, but one simple way we talk about all of this book is we say it in kind of four movements: that creation, fall, rescue, restoration. That God created everything and it was good. And by the third chapter, it had kind of blown up. And Adam and Eve, his creation, they rejected him, not by eating a fruit, but by mistrusting him. They didn't trust that he was good for them. And when that happened, sin fell and just ruined creation. And then we see the majority of this book in the Old Testament, it's God showing his people how to live in that broken world and saying, look, this is what it looks like to love me above everything else, and this is what it looks like to love one another, and you are going to be my people living together, putting this love, the nature of me, on display. And we see them mess up time and time and time and time and time and time again until it was time for him to actually send rescue. And that rescue came in the form of Jesus showing up and changing life forever. And he did that, and he invited people to follow him into the restored kingdom, right? That's the storyline of before this and after this and everything in between. That's it. And so there was this person, Adam and Eve, and he said, be fruitful and multiply. And they did that, and he invited this guy named Abraham, and he said, I'm going to make you into a family and a tribe, and it's actually going to turn into a kingdom, and that kingdom is going to be as numerous as the stars. And then we see that, and that tribe became the Hebrews, right? And the Hebrews, that tribe would grow into the kingdom that we've been talking about for like 500 weeks working through 1 Samuel as a church, right? That's the kingdom, and so that was the story. And you might say, well, how, just from that one little thing, how could it get so large? R.C. Sproul helps. He says this. He says, God is surely at work building his kingdom, not with entertainment, not with flash, not with all the pizzazz that we try to conjure up, but by obedience to his word, which is attended by his spirit, so that the kingdom grows and grows until the day when the Lord of the harvest comes for his fruit. That's what we've been experiencing, and that's what we've been doing. This Village Church, a shadow of that kingdom, humble beginnings, a few humble, hopeless prayers and a few conversations and hearts set aflame to believe in something bigger than anything that we could do in a secret meeting in a living room with 17 adults. By invite only, written on paper. Like, they used to print words on paper. It was a wild time, right? And so, written on paper, and it was an invitation to just ask the question, what if? Like, what if God was up to stuff beyond us? What if God was working in and among us to do something in a city and to make his name known in a way that it had not been known? People from different theological backgrounds, and we were unsure of so much, and we were just hopeful enough. And some of that tiny little group was long committed to the community and the mission, and some joined in early, just excited about something new. And some of those kids who toddled around an old YMCA just down the road have been baptized and are now serving in Kayville right now, discipling other kids who will be baptized next week. That's what we've been a part of. In the early days, we didn't know who would show up or how long we'd continue setting up and tearing down. And some of you were like, that's enough, please stop. We didn't know if I would have a sermon to preach because I was up all night because I had to work like a real job, you know? And I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to preach, and I still don't. So thanks for hanging out today. And we didn't know if we would have coffee or if the breakers would trip. I remember I was a teacher at the time. I remember like early days of church planting was like trying to design wiring diagrams for extension cords in a 100-year-old YMCA. That's what it was like. We didn't know if God would move. We didn't know if one guy would be walking from the gathering space in the gym to the kids' area and jump off of a balcony into the pool. We didn't know if that would happen, but it did happen. We didn't know if we could lead, and we didn't know if anyone would follow. We didn't know what a deacon was. We didn't know how the church would be organized. We didn't have a single Google Doc. We were just blind, stumbling around. We didn't know much, but God was at work through humble beginnings, and he was building his kingdom across the world and across town and a huge gym with a pastor who hadn't slept in weeks, through wearied families who gave a ton and showed up early and stayed late and prayed hard. And God had been planting the seed that would grow into the village long before he let any of us know about it. And if God is indeed moving his mission of seeking and saving and redeeming and building and restoring and loving a people of his own, then nothing can stop him, not even our ignorance. Do you believe that? And if that's how he built his kingdom, through just broken men and women, if that's how he's built the Village Church as a shadow of that kingdom, then the same is true in the citizens of that kingdom. Now, I want you to think for a second, maybe way back and maybe not so far back, but consider how God intervened in your life to make himself known to you. How did that happen? You probably didn't know much. You stepped forward to follow him in faith, because that's what you were called to do, but you didn't know what that looked like. I recently chatted with a friend, and he overheard a conversation of someone here in this room sharing the gospel with someone who was working on the building, like, you know, a civilian during the week, right? That was here working on the building, and he described listening and remembering what it was like when he heard the gospel, and he was overhearing this. And he was like taken back to when God first to begin to intervene into his life. And now he's maturing a bit in his faith. And he got to hear the beginning of God speaking to someone else and God working and inviting and shaping and changing. And we've all been a part of that. If you are part of the family of God, the household of God, by faith in Jesus alone. And maybe that's you today. And the coolest thing is every person who will ever be part of the kingdom of God forever had the same experience. And for 2,000 years, the way that God has been saving is one by one, inviting people to forsake themselves and the ends of this world and follow him for one that is so much better. And for 15 years, we've been doing that together, humble beginnings, and here we stand. The second thing that we see about the kingdom in just this simple parable is it grows big. It starts small, but it grows big. It's the smallest of all the seeds, but when grown, it's taller than the garden plants, and it becomes a tree. I've seen this, and maybe like for like Earth Day when you were a kid, you planted a tree in your yard, and you know, like your dad probably mowed over that, or you did. I'm sure that's the case. Those things never took off. But I remember when I was like 7 or 8 years old, I was climbing a tree in my front yard, And it seemed huge at the time, and I got attacked by some bees, right? I was in their territory, it's fair, whatever. And I fell out, and I broke my arm. Years later, I drive by that neighborhood, and I just remember that. It's like super meaningful, right? And in my mind, the tree was this big, but when I drive by now, it is like I wouldn't have broken my arm. I would have broken my life had I fallen out of that tree. Just over time, slowly but surely, it has grown huge. Do you know what happened next in the movement of the kingdom of God? Right? So we had Israel, the kingdom, God's people. Well, what happened next was things went sideways, and God's people drifted from his law and his way. And instead of loving up and loving out, that turned to externals and a type of moralism that attempted to earn God's love or just be critical of those around them. Because of sin, people in creation are broken, and they were broken, and there was never a law that could earn God's love, not even in the Old Testament. It was always about faith and trust and believing that God was who he said he was. The law revealed the human heart and its deep need for mercy. It had no shot to be restored apart from divine intervention. None of us did. We were without hope. That was the state of the world. And guess what? That's exactly what happened. God intervened. Jesus, this man, God in the flesh, creator of all, the one who holds all things together, he showed up and he came down and he lived and he grew and he taught and he lived perfectly according to the Father, and he caused a stir. And some hated him. Hated him to the point of murder. And some loved him. And he invited nobodies according to the world, not only to follow him for as long as they would live on the earth, but to follow him to eternal life, life in the royal family with all the citizens of God. God's people had swollen from one in a garden around a tree to an earthly kingdom, and that shrunk back down to one who was faithful, only one. That was Jesus. And Jesus would tell us elsewhere, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. Unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. What is he saying? He's sort of saying you can't have your cake and eat it too. And if you've never thought about that, you literally can't continue to have a cake and eat that cake, because then you would not have a cake anymore. Right? And so he's saying, unless a seed falls to the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it does that, when it dies, when the seed breaks open, the seed can no longer be found. When it dies, it grows and it gives life. Jesus was that seed. And he lived among us, and he was crucified on a cross as a sinner, not because he sinned, but because you sinned and because I sinned. And on that cross, he carried all of the sin of all who would put their faith in him. They would call his life their life. And he was buried with that sin. But he didn't stay dead. He was mourned and he was rejected at that point. But he rose and he was witnessed. And he ascended into the clouds, into the heaven where he reigns. And he will return. In the book of Acts, you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, then you have the book of Acts. That's how the New Testament begins. And Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. It's in the first chapter, you see Jesus ascend, and then it records the movement of salvation and life in him. And it shows where the Spirit shows up and it empowered bold belief and bold building of the kingdom. The church gathered and it scattered, and it was formed by that good news of Jesus, and it was sent by that same gospel. And when Jesus left, there were 120 disciples. But the church could not be contained. And when I think about the Village Church, what I often say is the greatest gift that we've had has been consistency. Right? We've not, to this point, had like a church split. We've not sent elders away in shame, right? We've had consistent people that have been around here for a long, long time, and we've had slow growth, right? No one's going to accuse us of being the world's fastest growing church, right? But the growth that we've experienced is God's growth through God's people, and that's super special. And you all keep me and the elders and the other leaders and the other members accountable to continue to be a church that's built on one thing, making much of Jesus. Not much of me or much of what happens up here, much of anything else, but much of Jesus. To be a community that's formed by the gospel and sent on God's mission. That's formed and sent, built on the foundation of what's already been done. So we are free to join the work of seeing that kingdom in full. And I say, look how far we've come. Look at all the ways, imperfect sure, that we've been able to reflect the nature of God and his kingdom together as the Village Church. And humble beginnings and one living room became a few in a YMCA, became a dark basement. Not this one, though. There was another one in between. I know. And we carried chairs from that space into this. Like, hey, we're moving, guys. Would you just grab a chair? Like, BYOC. Grab your chair and take it two blocks down the road, and everybody just like ants carried their chairs and set them here. That's how we got here, you know? And we carried them from one super dark basement to this basement that was fluorescent, flickering. It looked different than it does today. And there were a few kids' classrooms that grew to several, and there were a few members that grew to many, and there were four deacons that grew to 25, and there was one elder that grew to a team of five, and dozens of volunteers, now hundreds of volunteers, all formed and sent. And here's the thing. See, the last song before I come up here, I'm like sorting through all this stuff in my head. This is 15 years of this every Sunday, and I tell you, I don't eat breakfast on Sunday morning because, like, you know, I'm just nervous to stand up here in front of you all. I stand back there, the last song before I come up here, pretty much every week, and I just look around. I say, who's in the room? Like, what does this have to do with these people? And like, if you showed me a picture of what I got to see today, 15 years ago, come on. Y'all are pretty great, you know? You're all right. I don't tell you that enough. I know. And what about you? Look at God's work and growth in you. And I don't mean us. I mean in you. Where did you begin? Where are you now? And where is God at work to make you like Jesus? I want to show you something. It's been kind of a big deal. If you've been around, you've probably seen this, right? Just real quickly, like this is how God grows in us. Right, this is not us, it's Bob Thune and some other stuff that he's written, but over time, we come to a point to where we understand the gap between God's holiness and our sinfulness, and that's represented by that red dot, right? It's conversion, not conversion to Christianity, but conversion from death to life, right? He gives you eyes to see your position. And your only response is faith to trust him to meet the difference, right? And over time, we talk about this all the time in Village Gate. We talk about this anytime that we can. You think, people think that the way of Christ, the Christian life, is that you get more holy over time and you become more like Jesus, and you should, right? But look at those two lines. The trajectory is a growing awareness of God's holiness that over time, like when you trusted him for the first time, you had no idea how holy and set apart God was. And you didn't know how wicked and sinful you were. But over time, when you spend time with this book and with his people, and you hear God's word preached, you are exposed by the Spirit. And over time, you actually have an increased understanding of just the otherness of God. And at the same time, you have an increased understanding of just your default tendency to drift from him. But look at what's growing. It's the cross. It's God's grace that meets us in those places. That's what growth has looked like. And so if for the first time that sinks into you today, well, how do I respond? Well, something that we've said 1,000 times in the last 15 years, that we understand that God is holy and he's not like us, that I am sinful, but Christ is sufficient to meet me in that space, to invite me into eternal life with him. To the extent that you believe that true is the extent that you grow in him. And the last thing is this, the kingdom of God, it gives life. The Amazon rainforest. You guys, anybody like know a lot about that? Amazon rainforest, it's not small, turns out. It's actually quite large. 2.3 million square miles. Like half of the size of the United States, 9 countries it spans. 10% of all known plants live in the Amazon rainforest. 10% of all known animal species live in the Amazon rainforest. That is wild. 2.5 million insect species. That's enough. I mean, I can handle it, but that's enough to keep me out. Like, it's fine. I'm good. Lots of fish, electric eels. How cool is that? Piranhas, all the good stuff. Turns out piranhas don't eat people, I think. You can look that up later. Fact check me. This rainforest is pivotal in regulating the global climate. I say all that to say this rainforest, it literally gives life. And it all started from what? A few seeds. The kingdom of God has humble beginnings, but it grows to give abundant life. And this is the hope for those who get to call this place, these people, this God home. He is our future forever home, but we don't have to wait for the future, but that begins now. So many have come and many have gone, and we've gathered together to sit under the word, to be built up as disciples nearly 750 times together as the Village Church. Now, that's not quite true. There were probably some snow days in there, and there were probably a few flood days. You're like, oh, you had a flood here in Hamilton? Not really, just in the basement primarily. We do that every few years. We'll do that. And an occasional cancellation due to like a pandemic or whatever. Like that, every couple thousand years, we do something like that. We've gathered in dozens and dozens of homes on thousands of occasions to care for and to pray with, to bear burden, to build up, to remind us of what's true, to be God's people sitting under the word together as learners, around the table as family, among our neighbors as missionaries. And just as Jesus metaphors a tree as the source of life, home for many in the kingdom, it grows into the sanctuary of life for all living creatures. Birds nest in it for protection. They build families. They live and thrive. So this tree, gosh, has brought life for hundreds and hundreds, some gathered still, others scattered wide. The Village Church has gotten to be a mirror to spur life into this city that wasn't there in 2009. In 2009, downtown, you probably drove by to get here on High Street, 3% occupancy rate, 3%. 15 years later, 100%. And building more housing and lots of life and restaurants and all the things. Now, am I telling you that we are the reason for that? That would be crazy, right? But how cool has it been to partner with what God's doing, to be life with the city as our backdrop? Like, we've been a part of that, and that's pretty sweet. My hope is that you are more in love with Jesus and that you are more connected to his people and you are more committed to his mission, and that the anchor of your identity is not in what you've done, whether it's good or bad, but what Jesus has done. And my hope is that whatever you do from this point on, that you do so with the kingdom in mind. And again, think of that little Christmas village and just think about looking up at a world beyond whatever it is that you do day to day. Look up that you get to be a disciple that makes disciples. This is the story of God. This is the story of the Village Church. And by grace, I hope that it is the story of your life. So today, as we celebrate 15 years together with the kingdom of God in mind, it is, theologians will always talk about the kingdom of God as already and not yet. And what does that mean? It's already and not. He came and he inaugurated it and he established it, and yet there's part of it, the fullness of it is yet to come. What does that mean? That it's already here and it's not yet here. It means that there's a tension that we're living in. It is here and near through Christ, and yet it is to come in fullness. The space between the tension of "it is finished" that Jesus declared on the cross and "I will return." We feel sin's sting and brokenness, and yet there's hope in us, sure in us, and on the horizon. And the meeting place of that backwards and forwards is right here, right now. And all of this, it meets you in different ways, and some of you have been here from the beginning, from before the beginning. You're like, 15 years, I've been setting up stuff for 16 or 17 years. And some of you came in the middle of that, and you're like, oh, yeah, like the other dark basement. And some of you came more recently and connected in ways, and some of you are just feeling us out, and like, oh, wow, this is something. And some of you are yet to be a part of the kingdom of God, of this church family. And if this is the first time that you're hanging out with us, man, I'm super glad that you're here. Like, ask questions. That is okay. So the question is, how do we reflect in gratitude 15 years past and engage with hope in many more years to come? And I'll just give you three super simple ways to think about this. You get to join the kingdom through what's already been done. Right? It is not about you and what you've done, but it's about what Christ has already accomplished. And when he says, turn and follow me. Repent and believe it. It's turn and change from whatever it was that you were living for and follow me into a way that you cannot believe. That it's by his grace through faith. So he says, turn and trust me. Secondly, we get to behold the beauty of the kingdom here and now. We get to, like, the Bible talks about the church. And look, and I know the church is jacked up. And I know every one of you has a story. And I hate that. But this is the body. The way the Bible talks about it is the church is the body and Christ is the head. So when you say, man, I'm all about Jesus, it's his church. Like, I will take his head, but I will discard his body. And he just doesn't give room for that. Because, like, when all this wraps up, it's not just going to be you and Jesus. It's going to be you in a kingdom full of saints that he secured with the price of his blood. So I get it. We're all jacked up. I get it. But don't spin the tension between it is finished and when he returns without beholding the beauty, without living and knowing others that are a part of his body and being known by others. And thirdly, we get to continue building the kingdom until we see it finished in full. And we've done a ton together, and we haven't scratched the surface of what God is doing in us. And so I say, man, may we make and mature and multiply disciples, and may we build up, and may we send out church planters and church plants, and may at times we swell and at times we shrink because we send people out to do this over and over and over and over again. See, each of us will probably get up tomorrow and we'll do what we've been doing our entire life. and will be baking or building or accounting or teaching or serving our little village that might as well be set up dressed in winter in the back room on that table in the Graham's house. Right? If we bank and we bake and we build with bricks just to get up and do it again for the next day, not only is that a lame life, a life without purpose, but we're living so short-sighted. If we just get up and do what we've done just to do what we've done until our time is up, if that's all that life is, then that's all that life will be. But if we can see how God has been at work around us, among us, if we can see that we're a tiny piece of a larger kingdom, the Village Church here and now gathered, built up, scattered out, not in our own name, not in the mundane of life, but actively reflecting and building, and we get to build a current reality of a future kingdom. Did you know that's what we're doing? We get to invite all who will come. We get to spur one another on. We get to send out kingdom seed to plant, to grow, and to give life. If we do that, then we are living as a community that's formed by the gospel, sent on mission, making, maturing, and multiplying disciples of Jesus through every part of his city and every part of our lives, 15 years on today, and by grace for many years to come. Thanks for letting me be a part of that with you. The band's going to come on up. We're going to sing some songs. You can sit right where you are. You can stand up and pray. There'll be some people over there that would love to pray with you. If you are in Christ, right? If all this is like, yes, that is my life. He is my only hope. We invite you to take communion. We do this. It's the body of Jesus broken, the blood of Jesus spilt. And he says, do this in remembrance of me as often as you do. We get to take this and we get to remember what's true. We get to remember what he has done for us, and we get to declare that to one another. Look, and if you're not in Christ, you're like, I don't know, like, this is not for you. Like, the Bible's super clear about that. But Jesus is for you, right? My wife and I will be standing back there. We would love to pray with you. Someone would love to talk to you about what that looks like to follow Jesus, right? And beyond that, we're super excited to continue to celebrate. Would you stand up and join us in song? God, thanks for your goodness and your grace. Thanks for 15 years to look back and to just see the work that you've done. God, would you continue to do works even greater? Not because we're great, but because you are. God, do work in us, through us, for your name's sake, in Jesus' name. Amen.